Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Preaching to you tonight, John chapter number 3, stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. John chapter number 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in to the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Note what he says in verse number 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 7 says, ye must be born again. And I want to preach to you just a simple thought today on the subject of salvation. Father, I love you today. What a joy, what a privilege it is to be in your house today. God, thank you, Lord, that I'm able to come here and worship you. Thank you, God, for all of the kids. God, thank you, Lord, for the parents that had them here today. Thank you, God, for the choir that was just in their place ready to serve you this morning, God. Thank you, Lord, that the choir was full. Thank you, God, that we even met this week and talked about how to put another riser in the choir to add more room in our choir, God. Thank you, Lord, that we're having to prepare for things like that. God, there's many churches today that's dead and dry, and Father, Lord, they're just dying out. But God, I sure am thankful that you allow us to have a church that's alive and well. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd be in the preaching this morning, God. No doubt there's somebody here, Lord, that's not saved today, and I pray that through the preaching of thy word, Lord, that they'd come to know you as their Savior. God, will give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to preach to you a little while on this simple subject of salvation. I like what John said. John just cuts right to the chase in chapter number 3, and he says this, if you're going to go to heaven, you must be born again. You must be born again. Now, many people take these verses, and they especially go into verse number 5, and they try to pull out that a man has to be baptized to be saved. That a man has to be baptized to be saved. However, that is not so today. If that was so, what happened to the thief on the cross that Jesus said that day he would be with him in heaven? I think that we must look at the Bible in context. He said in verse number 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So automatically Nicodemus changes the conversation and brings us in to a natural state of mind. He is dealing with a natural birth. He said, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Note what he says in verse number 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. The water right there, when studied out, is simply referring to the natural birth. He says the only way a man can be born again is if he was born the first time. How can a man that's never been born be saved? He can't. So he says he must be born of the water, a natural birth, and of the Spirit, a supernatural birth. Amen. You see, each and every one of us was dead in trespassings of sin, and we needed to be born again. Matter of fact, he goes on to say in verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh again. He is reemphasizing the natural birth, that is a birth of the mother. But I sure am thankful that because of my natural birth, now I can be born again. Now the Holy Spirit can speak to my heart and show me my need of Him. Amen. Now I want to preach to you just a little bit on the subject of salvation. You must be born again. You know what? Jesus didn't put a question mark on that. Jesus does not make that statement and leave us in doubting on what He says. He's pretty simple and He's pretty plain on what He says. He says, if you're going to go to heaven, you got to be saved, man. You got to be born again. There must come that time in your life that you realize you're lost, that you're dead in trespassings of sin, and that Jesus loved you enough to give His life for you on Calvary and shed His blood for you and accept the work of God into your life. Let me show you four things about salvation, and we'll go home and eat a pork roast. Number one, thank God for pork roast. Amen. Number one, salvation is absolutely necessary. Salvation is absolutely necessary. You must. He didn't say you must work. Matter of fact, He said this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works. I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. The necessity of it. It is absolutely necessary that you be saved today if you're not. The word salvation means this. Now, it's interesting. It depends on which dictionary you look at. I love an 1828 Webster's dictionary, and here's what it talks about. He said, appropriately in theology, the redemption of man from the bondage of sin and liberty to eternal, and liberating to eternal death, and the confirming on him everlasting happiness. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, salvation is redemption. It is being redeemed, amen. What did the Bible say? He said this in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that word all means today in the Greek? When you study it out, it means all. You know what it means in the Hebrew? It means all. You know what it means in Spanish? It means all. You know what it means in Low Gap? Everybody. Everybody. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said this in chapter number 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death. Wages is simply a payment today. It's simply a payment today. You went to work this week, and because of your work, you expected to get a paycheck, did you not? Jesus and God says this, you're a sinner today, and the payment for your sin is death. The payment for you, can I just say this to you today? I believe this in all of my heart. If Eve and Adam had not sinned in the garden, they'd still be here today. There's no doubt about that. Death is the product of sin. And he says this, you're going to die. The wages of your sin is death. But I sure am glad that he didn't stop there. I sure am glad that's not the end of the story. I sure am glad that that's not all there is to this, honey. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is the gift of God? Chapter number 3 of John, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, you gotta be born again. It is a necessity today. It's nothing we can get around. It's nothing we can work around. There may be some passages in the Bible that we sit down and talk about and may not see eye to eye on, but this cannot be one of them. Are you with me? It's a necessity. Number one, salvation is an absolute necessity. Why? Because without salvation, we're condemned. Why? Because without salvation, we're under the wrath of God. All of it's seen in John chapter number 3. Number one, there's the absolute, salvation is absolutely necessary. Number two, salvation, listen to me, is universally available. Universally available. Let me tell you what's great about salvation. It's for everybody. That same all right there. Oh, yes. You say, well, preacher, I believe that there's just an elect few that can be saved. Hear me and hear me well. I'm not a 1 point, 2 point, 3 point, 4 point, or 5 point Calvinist today. I don't have nothing to do with Calvinism. Let me tell you what they say. They say there's just an elect few that can be saved. No matter what they do, no matter what they don't do, that's the ones that'll go to heaven. If that was so today, I promise you, I wouldn't be pastoring a church. I wouldn't be in the ministry today. I'd live life any way that I wanted to live it. Why? Because of an elect few. But that's not the truth today. The truth is this. God loves the world, and God does not have an elect few, but God sent His Son to die for the world today. To die for the world. It is salvation is universally available. What did He say? For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. What did He say in John chapter number 3 verse 14? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What did He say in chapter number 12, verse 32 of the book of John? He said, if I be lifted up, it's Jesus talking, I'll draw all men unto me. You want me to tell you who Jesus come to save today? Look at your neighbor. That's who He come to save today. Look in the mirror. That's who He come to save today. Look at the population of the world. That's who He come to save today. You say, preacher, you don't know my past. You don't know the life that I may have lived. It don't matter your past. It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter the life that you've lived. It don't matter the sin that you've indulged in. There's a God that loves you today, and a God that'll save you today. It's universally available. Next year, one of our big emphases next year in I'm letting the cat out of the bag a little bit right now, but one of our major emphases in 2025 is going to be world missions. That's one. Now, we make a big deal out of missions anyway, but it's going to be one of the major emphases. Matter of fact, this afternoon, I've got a meeting, and we're going to be going over some different things to help us keep up with our mission stuff. And I want to tell you something. If I didn't believe in world missions today, we'd pay the building off in Amazing Grace. Yeah, man, we take over $100,000 that we'll give this year to world missions, and we give it just right here at our church and pay the building off. But I sure am glad that God loves the world today. Can I say something to you? If you was in the jungles of Africa today, would you believe in a missionary? Would you want somebody to bring you the gospel? I'm glad that salvation is available to the universe today. Number one, salvation is absolutely necessary. Number two, salvation is universally available. Number three this morning, I would say this to you. Salvation, is everybody awake? Salvation is amazingly simple. It's simple. You know, we try to complicate things so many times. We try to make things so hard so many times. But I'm going to tell you something about salvation, man. It's the simplest thing you'll ever do. It is the simplest thing that you'll ever do. You've heard me say it a million times. Let me make it a million and one. It's as simple as ABC. You got to, number one, accept the fact that you're a sinner. Every person is a sinner. Every one of us today. No matter how good we try to do before the day's ended, we'll miss the mark, man. You've got to acknowledge and accept the fact that you are a sinner. But B, you've got to believe that God will save you. You know, some people now, stay with me just a minute. I pastored for 18 years. I've dealt with a lot of people in those 18 years. And sometimes people get caught up on this right here. Did I really exercise the faith that I needed to? Can I ask you a question? When you got up and made your way to an altar, or if you was riding down the road, Brother Bailey, in a car, or if you was in the middle, wherever it was that you say you got saved, at that very moment, the only reason you asked is because you believed he'd do it, or you'd never ask. Are you hearing me? That's the only reason you done it. You believed that he would do it. So what you need to do is tell the devil to go back to hell and leave you alone. Man, we ask him because we believe that he would do it. And can I just say something to you? I'm glad that I don't only believed that he would do it. I'm glad that he done it, amen. But watch this. See, you got to confess your sins. You got to ask him to save you. I thought about this, and I was talking to a few the other night, and I said this. I said, I can't tell you every word that I said when I say that I got saved. Or let me back up and rephrase that. When I did get saved. Because I got saved, amen. You say, how do you know you got saved? I can look back over this week at what God's done in my life this week and know that I'm saved. I can see the hand of God in my life. I can see prayers that he's answered. God's not going to answer the prayer of a lost man. I know that I'm saved because what I see God doing in my life right now, amen. The way he speaks to me from his word. And I'm going to tell you something. When we come to him, it's simply trusting him. Let me read you a verse. Go with me to Romans. Now, I'm about done, but go with me to Romans. It's just 10 minutes, still 12. I got plenty of time. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Look at verse number 9. He said this, that as thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we tell where it starts at. It starts in your heart. That's where it starts at. The very moment that I started towards where I got saved at. Let me tell you, when I believe I got saved, at that moment I started towards it. Because at that moment in my heart, I saying, God, I believe you. God, I trust you. God, I'm putting my faith in you. And then because of that, with the mouth, I confessed it to him. It's simple today. It's simple today. And I'll show you one more thing and we'll go home. Not only is salvation this morning absolutely necessary and universally available, but I would say this to you. Salvation is amazingly simple. It's so simple. It's so simple. But number four, salvation is eternally secure. It's eternally secure. On Thursday, I was riding up the road with an individual, and we began to talk about the Lord. And I like getting in the vehicle with people because when you get in there with them, you got them for a little while. Are you with me? We began to talk about the Lord. And the subject came up of losing our salvation. He said, what do you think about that? He said, you think once a man's saved that he can go to hell? And I said, absolutely not. I said, it ain't going to happen. And you said, you really believe that? I said, I don't just believe it, I know it. I said, it's Bible. It's basic Bible doctrine. Chapter 3, verse 16 of our text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. To have everlasting life. No matter what I ever do, I'll never not be the son of Alan and Jan Barker. No matter what Brother Josh ever does, he'll never not be the son of Jim and Miss Vicki Forrest. It's a bloodline that cannot be separated. I thought about this. It's eternally secure. Salvation. I'm glad I don't have to get recapped. Are you with me? I'm glad that whenever I do wrong, if I was to die at that very moment, that I'm not going to go to hell. It's, salvation is eternally secure. You say, preacher, that's just a license to sin. If you're truly saved, you're not going to live a life of sin and get by with it. He says this, those whom I loveth I correcteth. And if there's no correction, this is what the Bible says, we're bastards and not sons. That's exactly what the Word of God says. I thought about this, Miss Tanya. There you are. For two services in a row, you've moved somewhere else. She's going to start playing softly. I read this week, and I found it interesting. There was a missionary, and he pastored in China. His name was Watchman Nee. You may have heard about him. Watchman Nee tells about a new convert who came in deep distress to see him. No matter how much I pray, here's what the convert said. I want you to listen to me this morning. No matter how much I pray, no matter how hard I try, I simply cannot seem to be faithful to my Lord. I think I'm losing my salvation. Watchman Nee said this to him. Do you see this dog right here? He is my dog. He's house trained. He never makes a mess. He is obedient. He is a pure delight to me. Out in the kitchen, though, I have a son, a baby son. He makes a mess. He throws his food around. He fouls his clothes. He's a total mess. But who is going to inherit my kingdom? Not my dog, man. My son is my heir. You are Jesus Christ's heir because it is for you he died. Did you catch that? I'm an heir of God because of what he's done for me, not what I can do for him. I'm an heir of God because of what he's done for me, not what I've done for him. Years ago, all the children had gathered back in a classroom and they'd had their picture made, and the teacher was trying to persuade them each to buy a copy of the group picture. And here's what she said. Just think how nice it will be to look at it one day when you're all grown up and say, well, there's Jennifer. She's a lawyer now. Or there's Michael. He's a doctor now. There was a little bit of quietness swept through the room, and there was a small voice at the back of the room rang out and said, and there's the teacher. She's dead now. You know, the truth of the matter is somebody's going to look at our picture one day and go, and there's Jonathan. He's dead now. Because it's appointed unto man once to die. There's no way of getting around that. Unless the Lord comes back and raptures us out of here, and I think there's a really good chance of that happening really soon. But if he doesn't, we're all going to face death one day. So I ask you this question, have you been born again? Are you saved this morning? It's a necessity. You got to have it. Man, if you're going to go to heaven, if you're going to live for eternity in a place called heaven and not a place called hell, you got to be saved. I'll give you this in closing. One illustrator said this. Don't be like Shalom Gelbin. He made three mistakes. First, he was impersonating a police officer. Second, he was making traffic stops. Third, he pulled over an off-duty state trooper. Gelman was charged with reckless endangerment, driving without insurance, and without a registration. But most importantly, he was charged with criminal impersonation of a law enforcement officer. You say, preacher, why do you say that? One day you're going to stand before the judge, and I hope that you're not charged with impersonating a Christian. I hope he don't look at you and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you, because the Bible is plain, and he says, many shall say unto me in that day. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this, and have we not done that? And says that he'll look at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He said, preacher, you're just trying to get me to doubt myself. I'm not trying to get you to doubt nothing. You can't make me doubt my salvation. I know what God done for me. And hey, if I die and go to hell, the Bible's wrong and God's a liar. But it's not, and he's not. Are you born again? Are you ready to meet Jesus? are you saved?